Well, we've got another guest on the show. His name is Peter Schweitzer. Now, he is the author of a book that's making ripples throughout Washington for very good reason, because the accusations are important, and it sounds like they have a foundation in truth, and that's what we're going to get to today. The title of the book is Throw Them All Out, and presumably what he's talking about is our elected officials in Washington. Mr. Schweitzer, welcome to the show.
Hey, it's great to be on with you guys. How you doing?
Not bad. Well. Is that? Are you serious? Is it really great to be on with us? Or is that?
It is. It is. I've actually got family in Omaha. And
oh,
I like
great.
The Huskers.
Cool. And now is a chance to show them how smart you are, since they probably didn't see you on MSNBC, CNN, Fox, all those other places.
You have been making the rounds, sir. We see you out there.
It's been pretty crazy this week. There's no question about it.
Well, you got great subject material, especially in the time of our history of our country right now. It's amazing, and you've touched on something.
Where
Wall Street
and Washington merge. Apparently, it is, at least the accusation is that they merge in our government officials in Washington. Now, the premise of your book, as put forth by Amazon.com, one of the biggest scandals in American politics is waiting to explode. The full story of the inside game in Washington shows how the permanent political class enriches itself at the expense of the rest of us. Normal individuals cannot get in on IPOs at the asking price, but politicians do so routinely. Can you, sir, explain to us, how that was discovered and sort of the process or methodology that you went through to come to the conclusion that this is happening?
Well, that's a great question. A couple of years ago, a friend of mine sent me an article from something called the Journal of Quantitative Economics. Now, if you guys ever need help sleeping at night, this might be the place
to go. We actually read that kind of stuff, sir. but go ahead. If you need some additional help, just call us. We're in Omaha. You can visit your family.
Well, this study, it was two professors looked at 6,000 stock trades by U.S. senators, and what they found is that while, you know, corporate executives beat the stock market by 5% a year, and hedge funds, you know, the guys in New York that can pay big bucks, beat the market by 7-8% a year, U.S. senators beat the market by 12% a year.
They are the smartest ones in the
world. Oh, my gosh.
We did it. We sent the smartest ones there.
It worked.
Yeah, that's certainly one possible conclusion. The other possible conclusion, which I think is closer to reality, is that something's up, something fishy is going on. And as I researched it, I found that, you know, insider trading laws, you know, the laws that say if you use inside information to trade in the stock market, you'll go to jail, they don't actually apply to members of Congress. So they're able to use their inside information based on knowing what's going on in Washington, what the Food and Drug Administration might be doing to a certain, you know, food or drug product, or, you know, which defense contractor is going to get, you know, the big contract that they're voting on. They can trade stocks on that information, and they do it pretty regularly.
And they seem to do it real time.
Yeah, they do it real time. I mean, I found a guy who is a Republican from Alabama, who is at the time was a ranking member on the House Financial Services Committee. He's now the chairman. And this gentleman, you remember the financial crisis in September 2008. Everything was crazy. People didn't know what was going to happen. He was getting private briefings from the Treasury Secretary and from the head of the Federal Reserve Bank, you know, the guys that decide how much money we're going to print. And literally, he would go to these meetings. There were a handful of people there. You had to turn your BlackBerries in because it was top secret. Yeah. He would literally, the next day after these meetings, go out and trade stock options, and he made tens of thousands of dollars doing so. And, you know, you can't get a better stock tip than a private briefing from the Treasury Secretary and the Fed Chairman. And again, this is totally legal, and it's deemed ethical by the Ethics Committee.
Now,
I mean, it's outrageous.
What is it? Because if I go do it, I can get in trouble with the SEC. Anybody else does it, they can get in trouble. There must be an explicit rule allowing it. Is that true, and is that why they take advantage of it? And if so, why the hell is that possible?
Well, the SEC has said that it doesn't apply. Their logic is kind of twisted. Their logic is that members of Congress don't have an obligation to keep the information they learn secret. Maybe they should, maybe they're told to, but if they get a private briefing from the Fed chairman, they're not required to keep that secret, and they're free to do with it what they want, which would be a great exemption to the rest of us, but it doesn't apply to the rest of us. So I think really what it is that the SEC is afraid to take on Congress, and they're afraid to enforce the law. So members of Congress are free to do this, and no one has ever been prosecuted for it.
Is that evidence that maybe it's not true? And I'm not saying anything about the book, but there is at least the risk that you could create a post hoc argument in going back to the tens of thousands of conversations that have been had, and then put it together with the results of the senators' portfolios over a certain amount of time. Was there a scientific method applied?
Well, what I did was there are academic studies, like I mentioned, that show that they get these good rates of return. What I did was look at members of Congress. I looked at what their committee assignments were, if they're on the Energy Committee, for example. And then I looked to see if they were trading energy stock. And if they were, I tried to look at, what legislation was happening, what was going on, if there was something else that's going on that in relation to their job that might be connected. And what I found is that, during the Obamacare debate in 2009, there were people on both sides of the aisle actively and aggressively trading healthcare stock at the time. Some of them were making million-dollar trades while they were actually writing the bill for healthcare reform. And to me, it's a little bit like somebody who plays for the Huskers and bets on the game. I mean, we would never tolerate athletes betting on the games they're playing in, and yet that's really what these politicians are doing.
And I think that members of Congress are not subject to Freedom of Information Act, so we can't even say, hey, what did you say to who, and what did they tell you?
That's right. I mean, you have a better chance of getting a top secret file from the CIA through the Freedom of Information Act.
And I do have them. Which one do you want?
That's where it is. It's all stashed in Omaha. Is it like in a basement or something?
Well, if I told you. No, right. I do have a question, though. Now, this is outside the stock trading. I did see that you were on a Daily Ticker, and you were saying that associated with Solyndra and Solyndra-type deals, that was just the tip of the iceberg. Can you explain that a little bit?
Yeah, the way that they get rich and enrich their friends is not just on the stock market. It also happens in the executive branch. If you look at the so-called green energy loans like Solyndra, you find that is just the tip of the iceberg. That about the $20 billion that have been sent out in loan guarantees, you can link about $16 billion of it to people who were big campaign financiers for Barack Obama. That includes 10 members of his campaign finance committee, and that includes at least a dozen bundlers, people that go around and collect a lot of checks and bring them in for the campaign. And that's partly because of the Department of Energy. We think that this alternative energy program, the people calling the shots are, scientists or engineers or something like that are picking these grants. They actually took two campaign fundraisers from the 2008 campaign and put them in senior slots in that loan program. So those were the guys that were actually making the decisions as to who was going to get loan money. And lo and behold, the people that they had raised money from and gave money were the people that ended up getting the loans.
So, Peter, does your book throw them all out? Does it go into any the solutions, the things that we might be able to do? I mean, we've got some obstacles like freedom of information, and for the very reasons that they haven't been prosecuted, is there a way we can affect change in Washington?
Yeah, well, I think there's a couple of laws and rules we could change. What I would encourage people to do is find out who your local officials, your elected officials are, and research them. It's not that hard to do. It just takes a lot of time. You can go to a place called OpenSecrets.org. They have all the financial disclosures of every congressman and U.S. senator going back to, 1995, and then find out what committees they're on. If they're on the some health committee, see if they're trading health care stocks. And if they are, start researching the timing of it. Only way that they're going to be held into account is if we let them know we're watching them.
Wow.
Well, that's right. And unfortunately, right now, it doesn't seem like there's a lot of teeth. I mean, they can come out and say that they did it, and what are we going to do about it? I mean, It's not illegal, yeah, so kind of the question, yeah, who cares? Now, there's the moral and ethical part, obviously, but...
Yeah. Well, and I think that's why I say throw them all out. I think whatever side of the aisle you're on, Republican, Democrat, liberal, conservative, we have to have a zero tolerance policy. So even if, you know, our guy or a guy on our side or from our state is doing this, I think we have to have a zero tolerance policy. Otherwise, they're going to continue to get rich. And, you know, part of the reason that I don't think there's any urgency, they don't seem real, you know, urgent to try to fix problems in Washington. Part of it is this life is good in Washington. I mean, the economy is doing well. Members of Congress, their net worth is increasing dramatically while the rest of us are struggling. And so this is how you're going to get change on larger issues, is by letting them face the realities and play by the same rules that we do.
No doubt.
Well, Peter Schweizer, we do hope your book sells a billion copies. It's a fascinating topic, fun book. We thank you very much for taking the time to come on the show, and hopefully your family here in Omaha is listening.
Great, guys. Thanks a lot for having me.